God of Easter surprises, Easter miracles, Easter grace. We come this day eager to experience the mystery and the promise of our faith. Stand with us as we are in awe of the empty tomb. Be present with us as we wonder at what it means. This and all things we ask in the name of the resurrected one, Jesus Christ. Amen. What an amazing week it's been. An amazing week in the life of Christ and his disciples. Amazement. It is a word that really sums up how many would feel experiencing any one event through this week, or all of them together. Jesus rode into Jerusalem just a week ago on the back of a donkey. People all around him were shouting and cheering, throwing down their cloaks and palm branches as they heralded the coming of a new king. Amazing. Jesus broke bread and shared drink with his disciples, promising them that no matter what, he would protect them, that no matter what, he would return to them. And this meal was a sign of that covenant. Amazing. Jesus was betrayed by someone he called friend, someone he called brother, was beaten, mocked, and nailed to a cross by the same people who had just days before named him king. Amazing. And today, Peter rushes to the tomb, not believing the words of Mary Magdalene, only to find that it is empty, except for the linens that Christ had been wrapped in when he had died. Amazing. Isn't all that amazing? Being amazed is a very unbalanced state of being for a number of reasons. First, we're only truly amazed when something takes place that we never would have expected. In some ways, it causes the ground beneath our feet to shift. Weak knees are often a sign of being amazed. Another thing that makes being amazed so strange is that it's never tied to just one emotion. We can be amazed and joyous, like the people probably were on Palm Sunday. But we can just as easily be amazed and terrified, like so many were on Good Friday. But what kind of emotion do you think was tied to the amazement people were feeling that first Easter morning? They might have been joyous without fully understanding why. They might also have been horrified because they didn't fully understand what was going on. But what else might they feel? Hope? Fear? Confusion? Truth be told, they probably felt a little bit of all these things, because there's so much unknown surrounding the tomb, the empty tomb. So much mystery. How do we feel this morning, having found the empty tomb? Are we happy? Are we sad? Are we confused? Do we even know how we feel when we shout, "Hallelujah"?
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah. I heard a little voice down there. It was great. As with every occasion where we experience an event vicariously through the people of the day, we are removed from what's actually going on. We're removed both geographically and temporally from this story. Maybe at one point on our faith journey, when we first were introduced to this text, we heard it like Peter or Mary. We were amazed, because for us, it was a moment of new birth, and it changed our very being. But somehow, somewhere along the line, we normalized this story. We took something as mysterious, something so beyond words as the resurrection, and we made it ordinary. How could we be amazed if to be amazed means we have to be confronted by something extraordinary, something we don't expect. We've come to expect the resurrection. It's like a party somebody's throwing for us, a surprise party. But some silly person told us it was going to happen. How can we look surprised now that we know? Worse than that, like a magic trick that we've seen so many times, we start trying to figure out how it was done. We strive to peel back the layers of mystery until some undeniable, some unavoidable truth can be laid bare. Don't get me wrong, though. I'm not suggesting that we shouldn't explore the story. I'm not suggesting that we shouldn't ask questions and seek answers. I encourage us to do just that. We are called to seek in wonder, to ask in amazement, to explore in curiosity. Sometimes this journey will lead us to answers, but often it leads us to the great mystery of God, where explanations fall short of what we're feeling and what we're seeing. But over time, with a lot of exposure, it's easy to become jaded. It's easy to lose our sense of wonder at these stories. And once we are finished marveling at the beautiful lights, we start trying to look to see where the lights are coming from. But what took place last night while we were sleeping is more than just a disappearing act. And this is a miracle that is the sum of more than smoke and mirrors. No matter how many layers we peel back, no matter how much we're able to explain away, we are still left with the mystery of a man who was willing to give up his life for what he believed and for a world that he loved. If nothing else, that is a miracle. But beyond that sacrifice, we are still left with the cross on Friday. In those days, the cross was the ultimate sign of punishment and humiliation. So for Christ to be hoisted up on a cross was a statement not only to him, but to all his followers as well. The cross was a symbol of fear, meant to discourage people from rocking the boat or going their own way. On Good Friday, I mentioned that it's almost impossible to write a message because every other week of the year, I have to talk about miracles. I have to talk about hope, about the joy of resurrection. But on that dark Friday so long ago, there was no hope. Light itself had gone from the world, and all we were left with was the cross, the symbol of oppression and fear. But God took that symbol of fear, that symbol of oppression, and turned it into something completely unexpected, a symbol of hope, a symbol of freedom. And God takes death and defies even that ultimate end with the promise of new life, with the promise of resurrection. How can we not look at a story like this and be amazed? How can we not be amazed? How do we not stand in awe of the love that Christ embodied? How do we not wonder at the empty tomb because it's not really empty at all? It is filled with grace. Well, that's the question. How do we get surprised by a story we've heard 100 times? There's no easy way to answer that because for each of us, the road to making it new again is different. But maybe a good place to start is a sunrise. We see them all the time, some more than others, I'm sure. But every now and again, we stop and we take one in as though it were the first time again. We marvel at the beauty and the colors, the way the light dances on the clouds. And in those moments, the sunrise is made new again. But how is that one different from any other? The sun always rises in the east. Sometimes there's clouds. This morning there weren't. But for the most part, the experience should be the same. At the sunrise service this morning, we were down by the water, circled around a fire. You could see the hope of the sun on the horizon. You could see the light that foretold the sun's coming. In the midst of the gloom yesterday, a morning was born, clear and crisp, new again. What made this morning different from any other morning for me is the fact that we took the time to truly experience it. I often got distracted this morning by the beauty of the sun. It's not just something happening in the background of what we're doing. For a moment, it was part of who we were. For a few moments, it was the focus of our life. And in those moments, we are amazed at what's happening. This is how I try to approach Scripture, as though I'm experiencing what's happening like the people in the text. Then I can hear the shouts of joy as Christ enters Jerusalem and shout, "Hosanna!" with the crowd. And every time that we share communion, every time that we break bread with our neighbors, it's just like I'm sitting with Christ, breaking bread with Him, praying with Him. But with this good comes the bad. I also hear the nails, the cries of pain, the shouts of the crowd, and they moved me to tears. This Friday was so emotional for me. But then on a morning like this, I can race with Peter to the tomb and find it empty. And just like those times when a sunrise is made new, the sun's rising causes me to stand at the entrance of the tomb amazed at what had just happened. Easter is a time of surprises, a reminder that God is doing new things in places that we least expect it. As we go from here, let's look for the extra in the ordinary. Let's seek out the miracle moments in our run-of-the-mill days. Because the empty tomb is more than a gift of grace. It is a promise. A promise that nothing will ever be the same again. All has been made new in the love of God. Amen.